We left off yesterday. We were beginning to analyze this din of Omen Mubal HaParetz. First, as it starts out with Shabbos, and then now it spills over to Chasukah. The Gemara tells us that when you build a mechitza in a Shabbos, you have to be very, very careful that most of the mechitza is standing. You can have a couple of breaks here and there, but most of the mechitza has to be standing. What we call in Halacha Omen Mubal HaParetz. What is the source of this din? So the simple reading of the Gemara Erevin after this is that this is Halacha Moshe Messina. The Gemara uses the phrase Agmar Rechman LaMoshe. Sounds very much in sync with Halacha Moshe Messina. The problem that the Rishon were bothered with is the Mishnah in the beginning of the second part of Erevin discusses the possibility of surrounding an area in case of a hole in the ground with some water, and I want to make sure that I can have my animals drink from that water on Shabbos. I want to be able to climb into the bar, go down, bring up a bucket of water, and take it out to the street area. So the Mishnah says that's okay. And you don't have to build the entire area up with mechitzas. As long as you put in four corners, you put what's called pasi biros, two slabs of wood on one side, two slabs on the other side, all four corners are all closed off. So a hocus pocus, that becomes a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and you're allowed to carry there in a Torah and Shabbos. The Gemara says, Mitterabonin, maybe you can't, whatever, that's the detail. But in a Torah, that would for sure be acceptable. So the Rishon Mabar with the question, what happened to Omen Mubal HaParetz? If on one hand, the Gemara in Daf Tezvav tells us, Hochi Agmar Rechman LaMoshe, that you need Omen Mubal HaParetz, how can we let you get away with something which is clearly less than Omen Mubal HaParetz? So at the end of the show yesterday, we quoted the Tosfos. So we can go back to the fourth of the Ramah Komos for a moment. With Tosfos and Erev and Daf Yitzayin Rebbe asked this question, Osin Abba Dyumdin, the says that the exception to the rule of Omen Mubal HaParetz is the existence of four corners. When you have sides, you have mechitzas on all four sides and all four corners, so then you're right, then you're okay, and then we can be somehow mavat that we can forego the otherwise necessary condition of Omer Mubal HaParetz. And why is that? So Tosfos told you two words, because Chashe Pesach. Because now the openings are called the Pesach. So we left off the end of the shir yesterday with the following shaila, the following chakira. What's the nature of this din of Omer Mubal HaParetz? What kind of loch is that you need Omer Mubal HaParetz? So one way of understanding it is that that's the definition of the mechitza. That's part and parcel of the Torah's definition of a mechitza. The same way that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall, and a mechitza has to be able to withstand the wind. So a mechitza has to take up the majority of that side of the area trying to enclose. That's part of Hilchas Shiurim, part of Hilchas Mechitzas. That's part of the very definition of Hilchas Mechitzas in Kol Tarkula. What do I say? No, that's not the pshat. The reason why you need Omer Mubal HaParetz is because there's something that can undo, that can unravel a mechitza. And we know that already, that's a pirtza. A pirtza is poisonous to the existence of a mechitza. How do you define whether something is a pirtza? So usually we define a pirtza as being, is it more than 10 amas? More than 10 amas is a pirtza. Less than 10 amas is not a pirtza. But we've already learned from previous sugyas that there are other factors that can also determine whether you have a pirtza. A pirtza is not only a question of size, but a pirtza is a question of context as well. Let's say LaMashal, we learned in the previous sugya, if you have a piritza b'keren zavis, if you have a hole, if you have a breach in a corner, so that undoes the mechitza, no matter how small that piritza is, or almost how small that piritza is. Aye, but it's a Pesach. No, it's not a Pesach, because piritza b'keren zavis love the inchi, since people don't make openings, don't make doorways, right smack in the middle of a corner. So by context, we have to declare that what you have here is not a Pesach, it's a piritza. And if it's a piritza, once again, that will unravel a mechitza. So maybe there's another criteria of determining whether something is Pesach or piritza. Not just size, not just location, but rather general context in terms of ratio. Means what's the ratio of what you have? So if you have, let's take a look at this wall. I have a fairly large wall that goes from this end to, okay, we'll make this the end of the wall. It goes from here to here. And now I have a little bit of a Pesach. Well, it's not exactly in the corner. It's towards the corner, but it's not mamish in the corner. So I have a fairly large wall. It's clearly more standing than broken. And I have a little bit of a Pesach on the side. So that we could somehow understand. We could understand that that's called a Pesach. But imagine if the ratio would be the other way around. Imagine it would be all open and just a very, very small standing portion of the mechitza. It would be much harder for me to defend that, much harder for me to declare, oh, that's really a Pesach. It's not Pesach. That's a breached wall. That's a break. That's a piritza. So Pesach and piritza have to be determined, A, based on size, B, based on location, and C, based on ratio. These are all the different factors that go into determining whether you in fact have a Pesach or whether you in fact have a Pirzo. So once you say that the din of Omer Brumel HaParetz is not so much a din in Ilchas Mechitza, not so much an absolute criteria to determine is there a Mechitza or not, but rather it's one of the many factors that goes into determining whether something is a Pesach or a Pirzah. We've already learned from the last sugya that those factors are not written in stone. Those factors also depend on context. Let's say the Moshe, going back to something we spoke about at length last week, about Karen Zavis. If you have a hole in a Karen Zavis, so we said that's no good, that destroys the Mechitza. But most of the Rishonim, against the Riff and Rav Haigon, most of the Rishonim were of the opinion, but what if you put a Petrus of Pesach there? If you put two poles and a string across the top, then all of a sudden everything changes. Why is that? Because appearance of a Karen Zavis, to have the Inshe, means most of the time we can't close our eyes and just call that a Pesach, but sometimes we can. If you touch it up and you put two poles and a string there, then we could say, you know, this doesn't look as Pirtz as we thought it does. This does resemble a Pesach a little bit more. Even though you're right, location-wise, it's in the wrong place, but structurally-wise, it's definitely more Pesach-oriented. So we've already seen that it's a very soft definition of what is a Pesach, what's a Pirtz. You have to have a lot of it. It's like life. You can't just take a stand and say, it's A or B. You have to understand, you collect all the data, collect all the information, and then make an educated decision. Is this really A or is it really B? So is this a Pesach or is this a Pirzah? So it comes tells us and tells us that, generally speaking, when you have an Omen Ruvel HaParetz, that's much more Pesach-oriented. When you have a Paretz Ruvel HaOmen, so what you're looking at is much more Pirzah-oriented. But it's not absolute. What if the picture that's emerging, with all the chesronos, with all the problems, with all the deficiencies of Paretz Ruvel HaOmen, at the end of the day, you still look at the picture and say, this is still Pesach, this is still not Pirzah. What other factor could, in a sense, trump the factor of Paretz Ruvel HaOmen? Well, look at where your Omed is. Your Omed is not just arbitrary Omed. You don't just have a piece of wall here and then a tremendous break and another piece of wall and then another. You have very, very, definitive mechitzas. You built them in a very, very specific way. I put one corner over here. I put one corner over here. One corner over here. One corner over here. Obviously, what I'm trying to do is to create the model of mechitzas. And the fact that the mechitzas are described as what we call shem nal mechitzas, they're in the corners. They're clearly serving the purpose of closing off the area. The breaks are really, really big. And those really, really big breaks are much more Paretz Ruvel HaOmen oriented. True. But the context of where those breaks are, notwithstanding the fact how large and ratio-wise what they are, we're still going to be able to close our eyes and say, it's not really a Pirtz. It's really much, much more of a Pesach. So when Tosus drills in those two words, that Chosha Pesach, what Tosus means is a Yisrael. Tosus is taking a stand on the Chakira as to what's the nature of the din of Omer Mulaparetz. Is Omer Mulaparetz a din in Hilchas Mechitzes, or is Omer Mulaparetz a din in Hilchas Pesach versus Pirtzes? So Tosus is clearly saying the magic words Chosha Pesach, because at the end of the day, that's what really matters. What really matters is not so much the ratio. The ratio, it's not a sib, it's a simon. It's not that the ratio is the problem. The ratio of Paretz to Omed is indicative of what you have or don't have here, but it's not the only indication. It's one of the many factors to make that call, is it Pesach or Pirtz? Because that seems to be Tosfos' beer in the sugya. There are Rishonim who quote the same idea as Tosfos, but left out the magic words, Chosha Pesach. And it wasn't just they left it out, they forgot to write it. Because the imagery that Tosfos is saying with the words Chosha Pesach is not necessarily accepted by all. So if we take a look at the Rashba on the fifth of the Ramakamas, so the Rashba quotes the same pizma, the same question from Tosfos, and basically the same answer. We'll take a look at three lines from the bottom to the end of the line, Inami. Four lines from the bottom, Inami, the very end of the line. Kol sheyesh mechitza bepeyos. Whenever you have a mechitza on the corners, v'ika shem arba mechitzas, and you have that new status called shem arba mechitzas, afilu paretz beruba, even though you have paretz beruba, have your mechitzas. Those are mechitzas. That's considered to be mechitzas, which is an emphasis that Tosfos didn't say. Tosfos didn't start to say it's called mechitzas, it's called mechitzas, it's called mechitzas. Tosfos says it's called a Pesach. The Rashba is saying the same result, albeit with a different tune. The Rashba is saying they're called mechitzas. And when the Gemara says in the first bracket, Erevin, that Parvus Merubah La'omid is not acceptable, says the Rash, but the Hosam but the lake of shame Abba Mechitzas. There's no shame Dal Mechitzas. The lake of Dolphin Bepeyas. And there's no wall up in the corners. Uchidivir Abbasenu Hatzafatim Zal. Like Arabeim the Bali HaTosfah say. Now, that is true with the Rash for saying that it's the same resulting terrorists as Tosfos, but I'm not sure I would say that with absolute confidence. Kedivra b'sena tefatim, because lumdus wise is not the same. Because what the Rashba is clearly saying is that the name of the game is creation of mechitzas. Normally, there's a din that you need omen rule parts to create mechitzas, but there's a secondary method of creating mechitzas, and that's shame dal mechitzas. So, what the source for this is? This is probably much more in sync with Halacha Moshe Sinai. This is not a svar. This is not that we sat down and we philosophized and we said, oh, Ken Zayin, it's a Pesach. Asher made, no, maybe it's a Pesach. Maybe it's a Pirzah. Maybe it's a Pesach. That's not what's happening here. According to the Rashba, we're not determining Pesach versus Pirzah. We're creating mechitzas. Aye, but there's a din that you need omer v'lo paretz. Yes, that's one road to create a mechitza. And then there's another road to create a mechitza called Hilchos Shem Dal Mechitzas. Corners on all sides that are intact. That's another mechanism of creating mechitzas. So Tosfos and the Rashba are ending up in the same place, albeit lumdus, very, very different. But there's a third approach in the Rishonim, which is a very startling approach that the Rashba quotes, that throws into question the entire assumption from yesterday. When we first introduced the sugi yesterday, in Ervin Daf Tezvav, and we saw the Lashon HaGemara, Hochi Agmir Rechamanu Moshe, we thought it was a done deal. It was a no-brainer that meant Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Tosfos thought that way. The Rashba thought that way. Comes the Rashba now and quotes the name of the Ravid that we're not sure that we learned that Gemara properly. So take a look at this fifth of the Marmakom. Almost back to that Rashba. Now the second line. The Hadi Amrina, the end of the second line. Hadi Amrina Liel V'sukha Hachi Agmer Chaman LaMoshe Gedor Ruba Inam Losefetz Ruba Demikamakam Shamina Mina D'lekula Yama Mi Aparet Meruba La'omid Lav Mechitzehi. Isn't that a given? Ika lemeimar, listen to this. It's startling comment. Ika lemeimar, the hasam gezeira derabbanan ka'amar. The Gemara never really meant it's a din deraisa. The Gemara never really meant it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara meant it's a din mederabbanan udvar Torah. And you want to know what the real din deraisa is? Afilu paritz meruba laomed mechitzi yuchadavir raivitzal. Says the Rashba that the real din deraisa is that you don't need Omer Merubah parts. You never needed Omer Merubah parts. It didn't exist. There was no such a thing called Omer Merubah parts. You have a mechitza, great. That's good to go. Any mechitza, any shape or form is good. There's no difference whether it's in the quarters, not in the quarters, on a level of deraisa. Any half-baked, not even half-baked, quarter-baked, a third, a tenth-baked mechitza is good. Parts of Omer is okay. But textually, the Gemara says, Hachi Agmer Chamad Moshe. So the Rishonim quote the Ravid is saying, Agmer Chaman LaMoshe means al derech, like the Gemara says, Maseches Megillah, that the Rabban Shalom showed Moshe Rabbeinu Mikra Megillah also. The Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu all the Dinim Drabbanan also. Not that the Dinim Drabbanan were knowing yet. The Dinim Drabbanan will be knowing in generations to come. Moshe Rabbeinu got a glimpse, got an inkling of the Dinim Drabbanan to come. So, the Gemara doesn't say Halacha LaMoshe Mesinai. The Gemara doesn't say Devar Torah. The Gemara doesn't say Diaraisa. The Gemara doesn't say Menon immediately has a Pasuk. So it was a little bit misleading to us, that phrase of Hachi Agmer. Well, it's a very, 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 very powerful Lashon, just meaning it's part of Emesir, it's part of Etesh Rabbeh. It was indicated to Moshe Rabbeinu, but not that it's really, it doesn't become normative of Halacha until the Beis Din kicks in. Again, a tremendous, tremendous chiddush of the Ravid, but you could see just how bothered the Ravid was to come up with such a rereading of the Gemara in Erevin because he was so bothered with Pasi Biros. So again, three Malachim in the Rishonim. What is the issue? How could Pasi Biros work in light of the fact that you need Omer Bilaparotz? Either the Ravid who says that you never really needed Omer Bilaparotz Minat Torah, or Tosus that says when you have corners, then you have by definition of Pesach, that's all you ever needed. Or according to the Rashba, when you have corners, you have a Shein Mechitzas, Shein Dal Mechitzas, is a different way of building an Erev.
Do we know how big this space was that they were making?
Over the Pasi Biros? Yes, so the Mishnah says that there was a certain point where they couldn't go further because of Ilchus Pirtz's issues also.
Couldn't be
more than 10 amos, right. It's Machlokes HaTanaim, but we passed Kemi more than 10 amos, right. So everything we've been talking about yesterday and today is really leading up to Maseches Sukkah. We couldn't even begin to analyze the din of Omer Merubah Parts by Sukkah until we understand it by Shabbos first. So let's go back now to the first Seder Mamakomos and see where all this is going to take us. So the Gemara quoted a Braisa. where the Braisa said, it's the second line, the first Rambam comes, the end of the second line. V'yaseir Shabbos al Sukkah. Shabbos is greater than Sukkah, in the sense of that Shabbos is more chomer, the standards for Shabbos are higher. She'a Shabbos einan niteres ela be'omen rubel ha'paretz, ma'she'en kein b'sukkah. That Shabbos can never ever be permissible unless you have omen rubel ha'paretz. Again, the Raisa, the Rabbanim, whatever you think it is. But when it comes to Sukkah, so somehow all those conditions are dropped. When it comes to Sukkah, you don't need omen rubel ha'paretz. It's okay, even paretz rubel omen is good. So the question is, what does that mean, and why should that be so? So again, we don't have the Rashi's printed out, but Rashi on the spot has a fascinating insight as to what those words mean, omed ruma parts, or lack thereof in a sukkah. Says Rashi, we all know when you build a sukkah, shtayim ki hukhazar shlish tefil tefach. So it's perfectly okay to build a sukkah, two walls, and then the third wall has a tefach. Okay, midi rabbanon, you got to touch that third wall up with a tefach. Well, we spoke about that in the last thing. But b'ikaron, your sukkah is made up of two real walls and one third very, very small wall. Says Rashi, let's do the math now in terms of the total area that's surrounded. So let's say for argument's sake, it's a sukkah that's an amma by an amma. So, no, it's going to be, we need bigger than that in order for the sukkah to be kosher. So we'll make it 10 ammas by 10 ammas. Okay, make it simple. 10 ammas, don't get mixed up with the shiurim of Pesach and Pesach. 10 ammas by 10 ammas. So you have a total, sir, what's the word? Perimeter, I was looking for that word. I was going to say circumference. No, that was the circle days. Okay, thank you, Seth. Now we know why we needed you to help me with 10th grade geometry. So I have my perimeter, 10 amas by 10 amas, a perimeter of 40 amas. So Rashi makes a calculation. In order to meet the criteria of omen merubah l'aparetz, to really call this omen merubah l'aparetz, how much space has to be standing? 21, right? Or 20.01. 21 amas has to be standing, okay? Let's do the math. How much is standing here? Well, on the third side, I have bekoshi a tefach. So right now, okay, we'll make just the numbers easy. I'm starting off with 21 to 19. Right? Before I do anything, I have to, because the fourth side, like gamre, is open. 90% of the third side is also open. So all I have is two sides that are full. That's 20, and I'm sorry, 10 and 10, and 1. So I have 21 out of 4. So far, so good. That's still a row. And there are no doorways. There are no openings in the two sides. Everyone's got to walk around the entire perimeter of the sukkah to get in. The stomach is a doorway here and a doorway here. Why not? I can't have a doorway in a sukkah. So Rashi says, wait a second. Now we call the architect in and says, could you please measure, tally up for us, please, how much is standing and how much is in breach? So the answer is, the numbers aren't going to add up. You now have 18 amas of standing and 22 amas of breach. The 22 amas of breach are made up of the two sides. One side's the gamre open. The third side is 90% open. And the other side's got a couple of holes here and there in it for doorways. So says Rashi, by definition, you have parts. Move along it. So comes Rashi and says, how do we know that by sukkah, it's okay to have parts move along? Well, that's part of the halacha b'sinai, shlish tefilot tefach. It's understood when the Torah says, when the Baruch Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu, this was the Baruch Shem really told Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, I recommend it really, truly, that the third one is a tefach. What really was said is the fourth one is open legamri, the third one is open 90%, and for Shteitzich, you can have a couple of doorways here and there. No one can ever tell you not to have that. So if you add up the numbers, you will have parts of alignment. That's Rashi's calculation, that's computation of the sugya. What mashmos do we have from Rashi? What does it sound like from Rashi? That, what if I'm not looking at the whole picture of the sukkah? What if I want to measure one particular wall of the sukkah? And I'm asking myself, I have one wall, and that one wall happens to be Pamrutz Mubala Omeid. Did Rashi ever say that's okay? Did Rashi ever say that's covered by the statement of the Gemara? Sukkah's okay, Pamrutz Mubala Omeid? Rashi never said that. Rashi said, when you're adding up everything, Hakol, Miko, Kol, so then you have a right to say, by the way, in total, I have Pamrutz Mubala Omeid, that's okay. Each particular wall, maybe not, maybe each wall, according to Rashi, has to be omen rubel ha'paretz, like in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Erevin. So Rashi is giving you a very, very almost watered down version as to what parts of omen really means in Hilchos Sukkah. But the Rashi is very, very problematic, very, very difficult, this Rashi. Why is this Rashi so conceptually so difficult? Because you're doing the math, and you're adding up things that don't exist. You're adding up things that never existed, that don't even have to be there. If the halacha b'Moshe b'Sinai is, you don't need four walls, so why in the world does that fourth wall add up in terms of calculating your amount of standing or broken? If the halacha of Sinai is you don't need a third wall, you just need shlish tefil tefach, why in the world does that make any difference? What we should start the math with, within the shtayim kilchos of shlish tefil tefach, do you have omer merubah parts or not? What are you starting the math with things that don't exist? What are you starting the math with things that were never necessary? So it's a very, very difficult Rashi, conceptually a very, very difficult Rashi. But l'chora, what's pushing Rashi into the corner? Why is Rashi giving this almost like roundabout pshat? Because Rashi is probably very, very disturbed with what would be pshuto of the Gemara. Namely, that in Hilchas Sukkah, everything goes. In Hilchas Sukkah, walls could be tumbling down. In Hilchas Sukkah, you don't need over the parts. Why not? How can you defend this? How can you call it a wall? How can you say this is a wall, and somehow it's a wall, but it's part of Rishmubullah Omer? After all the other dinim of definition of mechitzas are identical between Shabbos and Sukkah. For example, ten tefachim is the same, Yechol Lamed Ruch Metzuyah is the same, Lovet is the same, everything else is identical. Shabbos and Sukkah, and Sukkah and Shabbos are identical in terms of definition of mechitzas, and now all of a sudden, Omer apart, everything changes. It's a new, and the Braisa never explains why. Rashi is looking at the Braisa and saying, it doesn't make any sense. How could it be that the Torah is matir, parts of the Lomit, by Sukkot, Mehecha Teisa, where did that come from? So it must be that the Torah never really was matir. So what did Chazal mean? So they meant something very, very roundabout. They meant, since there's a halacha that you don't need four full walls, since the halacha is you don't even need three full walls, so obviously in Hilchos, Omer Merubah Parutz, the Torah is giving you a freebie and telling you, do the calculations differently, and al zeh ne'amar, yisei v'shabbos al Sukkah. But it's still a very, very difficult pshat. I know where Rashi is coming from. I understand where Rashi is coming from, but it's still a very, very difficult pshat. So let's take a look at the Rambam in the sixth of the Maamar Gomos.
I mean, even according to the Raivid that we learned, then we derisive.
Right, right, right. If you're in the world of the Raivid, then the whole sugya is not derisive. This whole sugya is derabbanan, and we don't know why the derabbanan changed. But the Raivid is real to Das Yochanan and the sugya. The Pasha, the Dvarim, is nobody else holds like that Raivid. So let's take a look at the Rambam. The sixth of the Rambam comes. The Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, Pergdal Loch Yedveis. Sukkah sheyesh la psochem rabim. A sukkah has a lot of openings. V'yesh b'ksalech haloyin esav. It's got a lot of windows, a lot of breaks all over the place. Harei zuk sheira. Says Rambam, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's got a lot. It's okay. V'yafal pisha parts ruba lo'imeid. And it's okay, says the Rambam. Even though it's paris rubala omeid. That's a quote right out of this braisa masecha sukkah. Then the Rambam is going to start to put the brakes on if it's more than 10 amas. That's going to be the second half of the sukkah, not for now. I just want to read that Rambam carefully again. Sukkah sheyesh lapsochim rabim, v'yesh b'ksoleha chalonos harbei, harezok sheira, v'apishara to rubala omeid. That's Rashi's pshat. That's Rashi's description of the sukkah. The Rambam didn't say a word about that. The Rambam didn't tell you to do the math, add up the sides that are open. The Rambam says, Chaloinos harbe psochim harbe yesh b'ksaleh parutz merubah lo'imeid. The Rambam is describing the walls of the sukkah are parutz merubah lo'imeid. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying. The walls of the sukkah are parutz merubah lo'imeid. Not because the total or perimeter of the sukkah is parutz merubah lo'imeid. The Rambam said, Pemoli, yesh b'psochim rabim harezek sheira. The Rambam didn't say a word about the perimeter of the sukkah. So what's pshat in the Rambam? So comes the Kesef Mishnah on the seventh of the Maamar Gomos.
So what does it mean, windows? Like?
The windows are different. So the windows are a whole other angle of what the Rambam's talking about in terms of Tzuras HaPesach. We're going to leave that out for now. Okay? So comes the Kesef Mishnah, and he says, Kosev Rav HaMagid, seventh of the Maamar Gomos, Kosev Rav HaMagid, Shadas Rabbeinu, the Hadassah and the Yisei Rishabbos al Sukkah, that cryptic law in the Braisa, that the standards for Shabbos are more strict than for Sukkah. The Rambam must have meant on the third wall of the Sukkah, Parat Ruvul Omid is good, which is exactly what we know already. How do you know? That's what's called Shlisa Fil Tefach. That's exactly what Allah says, Shlisa Fil Tefach, i.e., on the third wall, it doesn't matter. So all the Rambam meant to say, and all the Braisa meant to say, is that you don't need a complete third wall, because Parz Mul Omid is Nichla on the Halacha Moshe Sinai, Shlish Tafilu Tefach. But Koshali says the Kesisha, that's what the Rambam meant. Dimkei Lohay Tzorach Rabbeinu L'Kosva. So why did the Rambam tell it to you? The Rambam already told us the din that Shlish Tafilu Tefach. Ma Nischadesh in that line of the Braisa, Ma Nischadesh in the Rambam. So I understand where the Kesef, where the Magen Mishnah is coming from, because the Magen Mishnah is bothered with the same kasha that Rashi is bothered with, and it doesn't make any sense. How could we let you get away with the parts of Rulomit? Each wall of Sukkah doesn't have to be Omen Rul parts. It doesn't make any sense. So whereas Rashi said, you're right, each wall does, but the total perimeter doesn't. Mm-hmm. The Rambam says, each wall really does, but the third wall doesn't.
Of course, there are only third wall.
That's it. So that's the kasha. I mean, what do I need a brisa for? I need a Rambam and a brisa to tell me that the third wall doesn't have three parts of Rulomit. Good morning. We know that already. We learned such a little tough. That's exactly the kasha. So the Kesef Bishah says, I understand what prompted the Magen Mishnah to say his Dochuk Pshat, but it's still very Dochuk. So what's Pshat? It's a very shvei word. So the Kesef Mishnah tries to do a little bit of surgery, to touch up the Magen Mishnah. The Nira, the Hachik Amar Rav HaMagid, what the Magen Mishnah meant is as follows. Shelo ichshiru b'parts b'mul oimed, that cool of parts b'mul oimed, el b'dofen shlish is dafka, shekeim atzinu shekilu b'av amu desagba b'tefach shachar b'paz dal, v'hilkach, hekilu b'nami, heicha shedofen shlish is yal p'nei kula, El Shaparat Zubel Omed. Pabashtei the Fadas Adesharas Dinik Medin Shabbos. Says the Kesef Mishnah, what the Magen Mishnah and the Rambam and the Brais must have meant is as follows. I'm making the third wall, but I don't want to make it just a tefach. I want to make it a really, 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 really long wall. I'm interested in extending this wall very, very far, for whatever my reasons are. But in the process of extending the wall so far, I have to cut down on some building material. I don't have enough wood to make it so far. So I start to make it a really, really long wall in the following way. So I have two walls over here, I have a third wall, I put up a tefach, and then I take a break of four tefachim. Then I make another tefach, another break of eight tefachim, another tefach, and it's going and going and going and going and going, but lemais, that's poritz brubaloi made. So comes the Kesef Mishnah and says, that's okay. That third wall, you could build with standards of poritz brubaloi made. Now, if I would have stopped and just built a tefach, that would have been great. That would have been fine. But I didn't want to stop. I wanted to extend it. So I would have thought, you want to extend it? It's got to be omer parts. Kamash blan, it doesn't. That's the pshat in the Rambam. Also a very difficult pshat. Why in the world would my personal, you know, desire to extend the wall change what the original halacha masinah was? If at the end of the day, Dalmiach, at the end of the day, all I had to build was a tefach, the fact that I chose to be meshugger and extend it, mehechiteise, why in a million years would I have thought, now all of a sudden, omer rubel parts kicks in. So there's also a difficult shot. So no matter where you go, we don't understand the price. The price is telling me this unbelievable thing, that the standards of Hilchos Sukkah are much more lenient than the standards of Hilchos Shabbos. So the premise of all the Rishonim, Rashi, Rambam, Makom Mishkan, the premise is, it can't be, it's not true, it's lo yitochet, well, how could it be different? It's not different vis-a-vis 10 tefachim. It's not vis-a-vis different strength and mechitzas. How could it be different vis-a-vis omrim? It's a deraisa. No one ever heard of the raivin. It's a deraisa. How could it be? So each one of the Rishonim is saying, you're right, it can't be. Each one saying in their own way, it can't be. Rashi saying, it can't be because we're talking about perimeter, not each wall. The Magen Mishnah saying, it can't be because we're talking about the third wall. The Kesef Mishnah says, it can't be because we're talking about a third wall that was extended as a third wall. Nobody's willing to say what the Braisa sounds like it's saying. That yeah, in Achinami, the walls of a sukkah do not have to be omen rumal parts. Finished. End of the day. Not the third wall doesn't have to be. Not the Bruna. The walls of a sukkah don't have to be omen rumal parts. Finished. End of discussion. Nobody's getting up to say that yet. Not yet. Not until Friday. Hopefully, it's Hashem on Friday. We'll see why it's quite possible that that is the real pshat. I'll say, Lafuka, the other Rishonim, that is a very viable pshat in the Gemara. Of course, it's going to force us to go back to the drawing board and understand conceptually why and how such a pshat can be true. Hopefully, on Friday, we'll pick it up with that.